One of the most vivid, chaotic moments of my life when I really knew chaos for the first time was the first time that I left the country. I was 16 years old, and a priest friend of mine had asked me to go on a mission trip to India, to Calcutta, to work with the Missionaries of Charity, Mother Teresa's order. So I remember getting ready for the trip and thinking this is going to be a grand adventure, a lot of fun, going out of the country. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. Zero clue. I remember getting to the airport and off the plane, and the airport was very dirty. And I didn't know exactly what that meant for the rest of the trip. I remember getting my bags off the carousel and kind of going to the front of the line. I was the youngest person on this mission trip by a couple years, 16. Got to the front of the line and walked out the sliding glass doors of the airport, and then I was hit with a wall of heat, 120 degrees, 100% humidity, and it smelled awful. It smelled like smoke, cigarette smoke, smelled like a truck stop bathroom that hadn't been cleaned in weeks. It was awful, absolutely terrible. And I turn around to go back in because I'm like, I'm not going to stay out here as long as I can or for very long. And the doors closed behind me, and two guards with AK-47s were standing there barring my way. And they said, if you want to go back in the airport, you have to go down to the other side of the airport to go into that entrance. And of course, I'm waiting there for my group to come out, and they never came out of the door. I was alone. Absolutely alone. And immediately 20 taxi drivers come up and start asking me for a taxi. Or they see if I wanted a taxi. And I was horrified. This fear, anxiety, stress rose up in me. I was alone in a third world country, my first time out of the country. What was I going to do? I had the presence of mind to send away the taxi drivers. I don't want a taxi, I'm done. And tears in my eyes, just like, Lord, I don't know what I got myself into. This isn't fun anymore. This is not fun at all. And as I'm trying to recollect myself, just trying to get my feet under me, if you will, I look over the other side of the airport parking lot, and there's my group. And they're putting their bags on a van. I walk over, and they didn't even know I was missing. Everyone is thinking that I was there, but everyone else is dealing with that same shock to the system that I was. And as we drove along to the mother house, the headquarters of the Missionaries of Charity, where Mother Teresa is buried, I started to just have a conversation with God. I wouldn't say it was so much a prayer. I'm sure it was, but I didn't think about it like that. I was like, God, this is not fun. I want to get back on a plane and go home. This is not what I expected. I want to leave. My friends, that was, for me, one of the first moments of utter chaos in my life, and I had no idea how to handle it. We're entering our second week of our homily series, Comfort in Chaos. And as we saw last week, kind of setting up what we will explore in the next couple weeks is the fact that in God, in Jesus Christ, is our comfort in the midst of chaos. He is our only source of it. He is the one who is able to bring us comfort, security, peace, and joy when life seems to be crumbling around us. Father Jim and I offered kind of a prayer reflection for us to take for this week, and I hope we can continue praying with it, asking ourselves a question in prayer: when have I last experienced the love of God recently? Not someone else, not some knowledge of God's love, an experience of his love. Just asking that question in prayer, even if the answer is no, allows us to be more open to experiencing his life in the present moment, in the near future. As we look at today's gospel, we realize that what Luke is doing for us is setting the historical context of Jesus' ministry. We have a list of historical figures. And we realize that Jesus' ministry started in a context of chaos. We have figures like Tiberius Caesar, the Tetrarchy of the Roman Empire, especially in Palestine. We have names like Pontius Pilate, Annas and Caiaphas, high priests of that time. And we realize that Jesus came in the midst of utter political chaos. This is a particular historical moment that Jesus came. And a Roman tetrarchy is the definition of chaos. Envy, pride, infighting was kind of the word of the day. But also we realize that not only was there external chaos, but also within the religious community of Jesus, there would have been chaos. There would have been a conflicting views about what was God doing. Imagine being a Jew at that time, and you realize the kingdom of David has been shattered. There is no kingdom anymore, it doesn't seem. God is silent. Lord, what are you doing? Come to us, Lord. This would have been the cry from so many. Absolute chaos. Absolute chaos. And my friends, in the midst of this kind of political, external chaos, the internal chaos, the division among so many, doesn't this reflect so many of our lives, especially during the holidays? You know, we could reflect on so many types of chaos, but I think our readings today highlight one in particular, that of division. Around the holiday season, around Christmas, don't we see so much division in our families, friendships, relationships, even in ourselves? A heart divided against itself. That is a heart that has sin in it. And that is so many of us, myself, a heart divided against itself. My friends, the historical context in which Jesus came is mirrored in our lives today. We see this today. But where do we find comfort in chaos? This week I'd like to address a common source of comfort for many people, being an optimist. So many like being an optimist. I'm a pretty optimistic person, smiles generally on my face. I like to be upbeat. But let's be honest. Sometimes optimism isn't enough. We can define optimism as the human disposition of some people that basically says, this situation will eventually get better. Look on the bright side. We should look at life as a glass half full. All great sentiments, yes. But does optimism truly give comfort in the midst of real pain and suffering? Often no. Often no. My friends, as we look at the readings, once again, look at the Gospels, and look throughout the whole of the Gospel story, we realize not only was there chaos, but there was also, like in our world, different views of how to handle it, where to find comfort. We've all heard of the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and even some of Jesus' disciples. And each of those groups had different views about where to get comfort. I think so many of their solutions rested on human efforts, on God bringing an army to vanquish the Romans, on strict obedience to the law, and certain rites in the temple. And probably some just had a bit of vague optimism. Though optimism can be good, we as Christians live by a more solid foundation, the virtue of hope. Where optimism seems to be based upon some vague idea that things will get better, hope places one's trust in a concrete source of comfort, Jesus. God himself come to guide all things and take care of his people. Yes, in hope we have less control. It's about Jesus taking care of us. But it is concrete. It is certain. We know we go to Christ knowing that he blesses us. He is in control of our story, every moment of it. And if we look back at our readings and we have this mist of chaos, historical chaos, these different views, we have an absolutely extraordinary line that for me leaps off the page. In the midst of this Roman Empire, the shattered kingdom of David, we read, "The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert." God breaks into the chaos and gives true comfort. No mere optimism could have helped in those times. True comfort, true joy, true peace was found in God alone. And he broke into that world, specifically in himself, Jesus Christ. So my friends, as Christians, we need to place our hope in Jesus, specifically in him, to ask, Lord, in the midst of our chaotic life, break into the life. Show us the peace and calm that you can bring in the midst of utter chaos and whatever it might be, especially with division. So I'd like to return to me freaking out in India, in Calcutta, kind of just being like, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. This is ridiculous. And we're driving down the road, Calcutta Road, looking out and seeing some dirt roads, some paved roads, literally seeing a family, that many families that had a blanket on the sidewalk as the whole substance of their existence. Their home was a blanket on the sidewalk. And a whole city lived like this. We pull up to Mother Teresa's headquarters, where she's buried. I remember going inside, putting my bags in the corner, and approaching her tomb. And her tomb is about the size of our altar, a big marble slab. And I knelt down by her tomb and prayed a desperate prayer. Lord, help me. Mother Teresa, be with me. I need you right now. My friends, I'm telling you, I went from the most stress and anxiety and fear I've ever experienced in my life to complete and utter peace in a single instant. As if the Holy Spirit entered me and it just settled everything. Now imagine Jesus getting up in the boat in the Sea of Galilee amidst the storm and saying, peace, silence, be still. That's what I felt like happened literally to me. And it was extraordinary. And that peace remained with me the entire trip. And I've had instances of it in my life where that, like, almost the smell of grace came back in my life when I needed it most, when I asked for it. But I needed to ask for it. Jesus Christ, our hope, can and will provide comfort in the midst of our chaos. But we must ask him for it. That is our Advent refrain over and over again. We hear it over again in our prayers, in our liturgies, in our music. Come, Lord Jesus. As we continue to pray on that question, where have I experienced your love, God, recently? Let's add another thing onto our prayer list, something we can take to the Lord in prayer. Let us put before the Lord, put at the base of the cross, anything in our life that may cause us chaos, anything in our life that causes us division, a relationship, something that burdens us. And we say, Lord, like me nailing down at the tomb of Mother Teresa, Lord, take this. I need you to help me now. And may not be perfectly taken care of immediately. But Lord, give me perseverance, give me joy, give me peace when there none seems to be found. Mere optimism does not seem to cut it. Lord, you are my hope, and I stake everything on your cross. This should be our prayer this Advent. Come, Lord Jesus. My friends, we don't just have some vague optimism that things will get better. We are Christians. We are ones who call upon our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of the Father, who breaks into the world of chaos to bring peace, joy, and comfort. So my friends, this Advent, let us go before the Lord, place everything at his feet, and say over and over again, come, Lord Jesus.